I'll try to cup a few this way.
Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Oh my God, we all made it back for another week.
Who'd have thought? It was a close call.
That was kind of in doubt for some of us. Well,
is there too much of a risk that that wouldn't happen?
You never know.
Scary.
Things can happen. There's a story. I'll tell that.
Great. Now I can sit here for the next 2 hours and just think about my mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
It's true. Coming up on the show today, in addition to that, we're going to talk orgasms. Okay. Christiana's people are taking over or something. And a rich girl who's not going to say she's sorry.
Finally.
Why are you looking at me? Neither of those things.
Christiana's
people. I'm usually sorry.
Women, Italian.
Oh, well, see, that's part of the tease,
Mexican.
Ted.
Oh, you'll you're figure good it all out.
Whoa, here we go. Yeah. Becca's...
Ted has an apple.
Damn it. is there a bite out of that apple?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a bruise.
It's a bruise.
He's bruised my apple.
He's like bobbing for apples.
Oh, my God.
It's Halloween time. He just wants to get into the spirit.
It's so cute.
It's really funny.
Yeah, my cat Ace is carrying around a small golden delicious apple by the stem.
It's like this ball came with a handle.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, go ahead.
It's
a cat toy. Go ahead and play with it. So welcome to Kareem Daniels joining us this week.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Becca is at her volunteer commitment this evening, so she's missing all the cat fun and helping people.
That is the best thing.
Adorable.
Sure. That's
makes for good radio.
It must
too.
Be great. Yeah, I was gonna say.
it's good times.
Wow, listeners, if you could only see.
Imagine something funny that's happening right now.
Imagine a tabby cat carrying a small apple around by the stem. And then dropping it. That's what's happening.
He's watching it roll.
And then watching it roll.
It's hilarious.
He's playing soccer.
He is such a dick.
Oh.
So let's go around the room. Kareem, you had a birthday this past week.
Yes.
Happy birthday, sir.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Birthday. I know you did the Jazz and Jokers open mic. That fell on your birthday, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. How did that go?
That was slow. It was a slow night.
Now, were the comedians decent to you on your birthday, or were they just kind of snarky comedian jerks?
For the most part, they were decent. There were only a couple of snarky remarks I can remember seeing.
Hmm. All right, let's make sure we get you right up on the mic there so we can hear you. There you go.
There you go.
That's it. Christiana, you had your big event on Friday night with the Y.
I did. It was good. It was a fairly packed room. That was exciting. Last week, let's see, Tuesday I was at the Y till 8. Wednesday I was there till 10. Thursday I was there till 12:30.
Oi.
Friday I was there. I was at the event site all day. I took the day off. Which put me kind of deeper in the angry phase of volunteering.
Uh-oh.
Where I was just like, why isn't everybody here? Oh, God, I can't even sleep. And I was just so tired that I was... The event itself was great, but it was like the worst parts of a wedding, kind of. Like, mm-hmm. I had friends who came. It was awesome. Some Comedy Spot people were there. Nick and Michaela Pettigrew and Mignon came. Greg Sabin was our MC, although the auctioneer was, shall we say, reticent to share the microphone with the MC.
Oh,
I would say, as if you're gonna draw an analogy, if Greg's from the improv world, I would assume that the auctioneer is from the stand up world of this is my show, not a team sport. He was great, you know. It's kind of nothing personal against him, except Greg was just like, all right, I'll just have some beer, thanks.
Easiest MC job
and his,
ever.
And his fiance Aaron was like, right, just like that. And then we sold a couple of cows and a few head of goats or something.
Oh, good.
But it was great. But I was so tired and wrecked that I spent like all of Saturday in bed, just sick. And so that was how I spent my weekend.
Aw, that's too bad.
Yeah, but I think we raised a bunch of money. I don't know how much yet, but
that's good.
So yeah, yay! It's for the kids. It's for the children.
Yeah.
For the kids. More kids can learn to swim, not drown in a river.
Yeah. Well, that's important.
Always important.
Yeah.
Did you learn them that the river has currents and the pool doesn't?
That's not really part of this.
Because that's kind of an important part of not drowning.
They come to the pool instead of going to the river, which is good.
Yeah, to explain, the pool and the river aren't the same. I'm just kidding. Hey, smart enough.
Okay,
and
enough
I,
of
and
that.
And I accidentally won some stuff because I, you know, like signed a whole bunch of things.
You accidentally won some stuff.
I accidentally, so it was a silent auction. And so some of the stuff I was like, let's get this started. And one of it was like a Zuda Yoga gift basket. Because I thought that's like a super popular yoga studio in town. It's going to be crazy popular. We'll just get it started here. So I won that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Which is all right. I mean, yoga's cool. So
yeah.
Those are the worst things. And then I also, not to brag, won a luxurious one night stay at the Holiday Inn. Downtown.
Nice.
Which I'm sure will be useful for like in-laws or something at some point.
Or just that night away.
Yeah. Sexy tryst.
That's it.
The Holiday Inn with a view of the freeway.
You can do some role-playing. Like, here's my key. Meet me at my room.
The Holiday Inn. Yeah, I guess so.
Didn't Chingy have a song about that?
It's entirely possible. I'm the wrong guy to ask. So, Ted, did you, I know you've had a lot of stuff going on this past week. Did you have anything you wanted to share with the group?
Well, just Beck and I were spending some time with her family in San Francisco, and she has a beautiful family. It was nice to just be there, and we're heading out to Disneyland for our anniversary this week.
Aww.
Anniversary, because we're
good
late.
Good boyfriend answer.
I know.
See, I've been trained, 2 years of training. No, it's from the heart,
Mm-hmm. And a little
parts
bit
of the body,
a little bit from the brain too.
Oh, they're gonna go south of the border there.
No,
oh,
man,
me?
It's a joke. It's all good. Don't worry.
I'm very offended.
I know.
Anyway,
you are.
So
that's worried about offending you, Nate. That's always my concern.
I'm so easily offended.
How was your week, Nate?
My week was crazy. It was La Vida Loca week. So in October, the Streets of London British pub, which is my neighborhood pub, it's the closest one to my place, has half price everything all day on Wednesday. And last Wednesday, after I got home from work, and I'd set it up to meet our former improv pal Justin Lair over there to have some beer and catch up on stuff. And he goes, so he messaged me, he goes, what time do you want to meet? And I said, you know what, 8 o'clock, because I want to go for a run. What are you?
Don't worry about it.
The cat?
No, the cat.
Okay.
That's it. Good cover.
So I get home and I go out, and it's getting darker earlier. So I'm going on a run. I'm running around McKinley Park, and I've got no lights at this point in my life. So
that sounds sad.
I know it does.
Deeper than that.
Yeah.
I've got no light, man.
So I'm going around McKinley Park, and the small adjacent park that you have to go around to get to the full mile when you loop the park.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it's dirt trail, sidewalk, dirt trail, driveway, so it changes really quickly.
How bad did you scrape up yourself?
Well, that's my hand
got a little
stigmata
going on.
Yeah, I do have a little stigmata going on. I stepped wrong, and I started to go down. I went to catch myself.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
And my hand hit, and I'm like, and then I instantly said, tuck and roll. So I did.
Fire?
No,
that stopped dropping.
Right.
Man. Anytime somebody starts explaining it to the rain, you know that there's a fall coming.
Yeah. No, definitely a fall coming. I knew I was going down, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to drop and roll. So I tucked my shoulder under, did the roll, landed there, and I'm like, hands bleeding. And then this woman who I just passed, who was on her power walk, I look up, and she's like, are you okay? And other than my pride,
was it a meet cute? Was she beautiful? Were you like, help me?
No.
Were you like, did I die and go to heaven?
No. No. She was an average looking woman. I would give her like a 5.5.
Oh, that's nice.
5.5, 6. But you know, so I'm like, I'm fine. I got up, finished the run. I was really mad because it actually messed up my time because I'd had a really good first mile and I had a really good third mile, and my second mile time was kind of ruined by the fact that I fell down and
sudden
had to
stop.
Yeah.
Did you take a tumble?
Ruined all the momentum.
Damn math.
Did you pretend you were a superhero when you came out of the roll?
No.
Did you do the like the gymnast like stuck it?
Well,
up.
I was just seeing how badly my hand was tore up and if it was just one or both hands, and she's like, do you need help getting up? And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Wow, you didn't do a ninja roll.
Well, I did, but I ended
jazz hands at the end.
Yeah, there were no, the only jazz hands would have splattered blood everywhere. Oh. That would be bad. No, I when I came to a rest, I was actually sitting up, like I had meant to sit down.
Oh, wow.
It's like a half rollover, so I was like, okay.
Not but even a police freeze.
No, it's none of that. None of that.
I ate it once on Capitol Mall running. I used to live Governor Square by the Crocker, and I'd run to downtown plaza to the 24-hour, and I ate it once. In front of my roommate, a homeless guy who just laughed and clapped. And it was like the highlight of his day. And I'm like, man.
Man, homeless guys are such dicks.
Hilarious.
So
that's
anyway.
But the fact that he clapped.
Yeah, I know. It was big. It was a hit.
So I get back home and I wash the dirt and crap out of my hand. And I look at the clock and I go, I have time to either shower or eat dinner before I go to Streets of London for beer.
And what smart choice did you make?
Well, I decided that I would shower instead of eat.
There you go.
And you need to eat when you're drinking booze?
Well, so I get showered and I walk over there. I get over there a little bit after 8 o'clock and I'm messaging back and forth. He's like, yeah, my girl's running a little bit late, so it'll be like 15 minutes. And I'm like, hey, no worries. So I get a pitcher of Firestone IPA, which is a very strong IPA.
You're like, pitcher, no cup. Don't need a glass. Just a straw.
And I'm thinking, I'll get a pitcher, and when he gets here, we'll split. Whatever. So 15 minutes actually became a little more than 30 minutes.
Oh.
And by the time I saw him, he had gotten his own pitcher.
Darn it.
Which meant I had to finish that pitcher.
You had no choice.
I had no choice. And here's where the night really went wrong for me. I finished the pitcher, and we were still chatting. And it's half price. Everything's half price. So
well,
I'm like,
then you can get a second pitcher.
No. I only get a pint.
Oh.
But a pitcher and a pint of 7.5% alcohol beer.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Is quite enough. Ace, get down!
Whoa, that cat is cray, dude.
Well, he's over there where the apples are, is what's going
more,
on.
Looking for more fruit.
He's just ignoring
me. How
do you
like them apples?
He's just ignoring me.
He's looking for another one.
Yeah, there's three more. That'll be great. So, So I finish the beer, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going in search of food now. The problem is, on a Wednesday night in Midtown, nothing is open at 10 o'clock.
I feel like we should have a dramatic reading of the Facebook messages that you and I were exchanging at the point.
Oh, boy.
There was a distinct point on Wednesday night where I was like, I'm worried about, and I think I was at the Y at the time, and I was like, I might have to go pick up my friend. I'm not really sure he's going to make it home. Because there's not a lot of coherence between the two. Part of me was like, is he also messaging with someone else? And that explains it being disjointed. But no, I think he's just super drunk.
I was messaging with a couple of people, but...
Two-timer.
But yes, it was absolutely, because it was... Yeah, he's on my cat's on the refrigerator
Bring
now.
It.
Yeah,
Bring it.
You never know, he could pounce. I just remember at one point, one of the messages I sent you was leaning on a building now.
Yeah. Yep.
And the response was, you need to get home now.
Yeah. I think I also said, you need to go to sleep in the rescue position.
Yep. Yeah, that was the last one. And you were, you did ask if, you did say, are you okay? Do you need a ride? Do you need me to come pick you up or something like that? And I'm like, nah, I'm fine. But yeah, it was quite an evening, and I was hungover the next morning. Hello,
hey.
I know it's my new computer is very strange.
Oh yeah, it's your new computer.
New computer's hooked up.
Congratulations.
And yeah, Windows 8, which means there's a Facebook app which I thought I had turned off, but apparently not. So now anytime somebody sends me a message on Facebook or updates a status, we'll get that weird little sound.
You got weird sounds last. Other computer too.
No, that's from the tablet.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's weird sounds everywhere.
Oh, technology.
That's right. Your money back on the podcast if you don't like it. So, yeah, a little hungover the next day, but here's where I came out like a champion. I actually had a very productive day at work, and at the end of the day on Thursday, I felt enough better that I went on a 2-mile run.
Ooh.
So,
badass.
Wow. So in a 24-hour period, I ran a little over 3 miles, got incredibly drunk, was hungover, and then ran another 2 miles, which for a man of my advanced age is actually pretty good.
Congratulations.
I mean, if you're like 20.
Did you see the lady from the night before?
The 5 and a half.
Were you like, look at me, I'm on 2 feet.
I did not. But here's what I did do. I stopped at Fleet Feet and explained to them that I needed something to illuminate my field of vision.
Oh, and they gave you the miner's cap.
And I bought a headlamp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's on an elastic band, so it doesn't look that great, but when I'm running with it, it's dark out, so you can't see me. I'm like John Cena.
I will be in the bushes taking pictures.
Well, I actually made that my Facebook profile picture at one point. It was just the picture of me with the light on. You can't really see, because if you're looking from that way, you can't see my face because the light's in your eyes. That's how we roll.
Anyway. I can't believe that you can't be seen in the dark.
Just my smile, Kareem.
While you were drunk, you posted a very blurry picture of a billboard, and all I could make out was a woman saying, "I know." And I said, "I can't make that out. It's blurry." And you wrote back, "That's what she said," with lots of typos in it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite sure what to make of that.
To be fair, Ted, I was drunk.
I know.
And my hand was freshly torn up, so it was difficult to text.
Oh, it was perfect.
The billboard is on K Street between 19th and 20th, and it's something to do with STDs. I forget exactly what it is. And this,
yeah, I noticed it's not a good billboard because the "I know" is super huge, and then the underneath part is like,
yeah,
the point of it. I think it's something like, "I know I need to get tested for gonorrhea." Or,
yes,
I don't know what, but it's
like
not.
I saw a bus with that sign on it like yesterday or Saturday. It was Saturday because my friend was like, "Is that for real?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think it is."
Yeah. But way to bury the lead. I mean, it's
And I posted that photo with "Your junk is corrupt" was what I was the caption that I put on it.
Oh,
and that's why, because it was about STDs.
Gotcha.
So Britney Spears, moving on from my story to things that crash and burn, she's doing very well for herself. She's in Vegas now with her new show. And you remember the big
do not shit on Brit, I swear to God.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just saying.
Love my girl.
You know,
she puts on a hell of a show.
Sure she does. And there was some criticism at one point in time that she lip-synced her shows. And she's not lip-syncing her shows anymore, as we've now found out from this leaked, isolated vocal track from Britney Spears.
Boys, sounds like girl just needs one.
Yeah, no tighter than that.
Boys, a lover ain't too old. Boys, and when a girl is with one.
I think that was fake.
Is that like that? Didn't they do something like that with Beyonce once? They
oh, yeah.
Dicked around with it, and they're like, "This is what she really sounds like." And she's like, "No, I don't."
Yeah.
But when you're actually there, you hear something far different. That's just the isolated vocal track.
Yeah, I think that's fake. I don't think that's...
I don't see the thing is, like, who is it? I think it was NSYNC. They made a big deal about how they don't use any backing tracks. And it's always like singing. If you're going to dance that much, I don't think Olympians have the kind of stamina to sustain a performance and the kind of like dancing. She doesn't dance like she used to either.
No.
She used to really like hit it hard, but now she just kind of prances.
That was from 2001.
So.
She's old now, though.
That's when she used to actually dance.
No, allegedly from 2001 Vegas concert. Yeah.
That's when she used to actually dance in the shows.
Yeah.
She probably could sing more because she just kind of walks.
And the weird thing is the Huffington Post was like, "Oh, well, there are all these other isolated vocals from all of these people." The difference is all of the other ones are isolated from studio sessions. So that's a far different setup than somebody who's dancing around. So if you're listening to, you know, Freddie Mercury and David Bowie in a studio, they're going to sound better.
Pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man has fall. Under pressure.
Not only that, they're both far better singers than Britney Spears will ever be. But I mean, in a studio setting, everything's controlled. And you can even hear it like
you can hear the reverb.
The reverb is crazy.
Man, you could just release that as a single by itself.
I know, right? I kind of want to jam to that. Yeah.
So that's been kind of the new thing on YouTube is to post isolated vocals of different people.
Yeah, I don't believe them. I think that was a fake.
The Britney Spears? It's
Britney Spears.
You know, it's entirely possible. There was a weird thing in there, but it was on the Huffington Post, so I figured, hey, it must be something.
True.
Yeah. But the guy, I mean, because what was it? One of us say, "Keep it tighter while she's singing." Like she says, "Keep it tighter while she's singing" at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like,
they're practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very strange.
Somebody might have recorded a walkthrough where she wasn't even really.
Yeah,
that's entirely possible too. We'll never know.
Although, I mean, she's a she's a production.
Yeah, I mean,
so
she's,
it's all right. I was surprised if did we talk about this on any podcast that I thought Miley Cyrus did a pretty damn good job on Saturday Night Live, which is where a ton of people sound awful.
Oh yeah,
well, like the, they, people always sound like shit on that show, but well, she sounded pretty good, and then Katy Perry sounded like
Katy Perry.
On a stick.
Yeah,
Katy Perry. Yeah.
So,
but a lot of a lot of the reviews that I read about Miley from other artists weren't about her vocals.
Mm.
It was the fact that instead of her actually singing, because they actually think she can sing,
right,
that she went out and did something totally crappy.
Mm.
It was like, you know, why don't you just sing because you can sing,
right,
instead of making yourself a cartoon, and then you won't be around because nobody will give a damn that you sing.
Yeah, the tongue stuff has to stop.
The tongue stuff is a little much, but it's on the other side, you can argue that she's just getting more people into the tent to realize that she does have talent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but y'all are old.
I'm still kind of mad. I'm still kind of mad about that whole situation, because now girls that I actually wanted to see with less clothes are putting on more clothes because they don't want to be called Miley.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
She's ruining America.
She is in the wrong way.
Exactly. Not ruining it in the right way. That's true.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's true. Well, apparently the BART strike is causing all sorts of problems in the Bay Area. I wasn't aware. Ted found this, and there's a man who's accused of trying to make love to a train seat.
Gross.
He was acquitted of felony indecent exposure and released from San Francisco jail. His name's Leslie Bailey, arrested back in May, shortly after a BART train operator saw him on his knees in a nearly empty car, thrusting his pelvis against the seat next to the cab.
It's just so unsanitary.
It is.
Among other problems.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like putting my hand on those seats, let alone anything else, but sadly, it's not the first time that this sort of thing has happened on BART. In July, the amorous actions of a pair of passengers that was posted online aroused an official investigation. So stop doing it on BART.
Or to BART or with BART.
Maybe that's why they're going on strike.
That's like next, literally the trains are going to strike.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
No means no.
I did not sign up for this.
It's one thing to rape organized labor, but.
Oh.
Hey now.
Rape joke.
Good job.
It's okay.
Bravo.
It was political.
Thank you.
Hey, good news, those of you who love to sleep. While the brain is sleeping, it clears out harmful toxins. That's right, toxins. It's a process that may reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, according to researchers, but they keep changing their mind about everything. During sleep, the flow of a fluid in the brain increases dramatically, which allegedly washes away harmful proteins that build up between brain cells during waking hours. That's in a study of mice. A doctor with a name I'm not going to pronounce says it's like a dishwasher. He is a professor of neurosurgery at the University of Rochester and an author in the study, which is in the magazine Science. I like saying it that way.
Science.
The results appear to offer the best explanation yet of why animals and people need sleep. If it proves to be true in humans as well, it could help explain a mysterious association between sleep disorders and brain diseases, including Alzheimer's. I'm in trouble because I don't sleep enough.
Sleep, people.
Oh. I'm going to need to nap more. I'm going to start putting in for siestas at work.
Got to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleep is the best.
Yeah. I went through a phase with my kid where I'd fall asleep putting her to bed at like 8:30 every night, and then I'd wake up disoriented 11 and be like, oh my God, I missed the night. Oh, well, I'll go to sleep. And it was amazing how functional I was the next day. I could get up at 6. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Well, here's what I know. My cats will never have Alzheimer's because they're out for a good 16, 18 hours a day when they're not, you know, throwing apples around the house.
Nah.
Strange.
I want to be a cat when I come back.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, in the right situation, in a bad situation, being a cat, not that awesome. But if you end up having to, in a house where people actually, you know, feed you and clean the cat box and, you know, take reasonably good care of you, it's a pretty damn good life. Yeah, leave apples out.
Yeah.
So anybody ever have a note left on your car or seen somebody do it or felt the urge to do it?
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it happened in Michigan to a man who parked in a handicapped spot. But he had a handicapped placard.
Oh.
And a wheelchair, because he is, in fact, handicapped. Let's take a listen to what happened.
Story that came into our newsroom. Someone wrote an angry note and left it on a BMW parked in a handicapped spot.
The note accused the driver of not being handicapped. But he is. He's been in a wheelchair for almost two decades.
The man who got the note is talking only with 24-hour News 8's Danny Carlson tonight. Danny, what happened?
Well, Sue and Brian, Matt Milstead and his wife Leslie say they're actually a little bit uncomfortable with all the attention they've been getting since Matt got the note. It all happened last Wednesday when Matt went to the downtown YMCA to play wheelchair rugby. He had the handicap placard in his car.
More YMCA
to
stuff.
Drop off an anonymous note.
As I come back out to my car, there was this letter that was shoved into the door handle of my car.
How dare you drive a nice car, handicapped man?
Yeah, pretty much.
Expecting the misplaced anger he was about to read, 36-year-old Matt Milstead read the venom. I would love to see your wheelchair, the scrawling handwriting said, going on to accuse him of being an able-bodied professional taking advantage of a situation.
I was kind of puzzled why he would leave this note, never met me, didn't know if I was in a wheelchair or not, but
he was a wheelchair-bound professional.
I was someone who just tried to steal a close and convenient spot.
I was just, I don't even get mad easily, but I was just instantly furious. It's kind of ironic. The guy was kind of trying to right a wrong. He assumed some jerk had parked in a handicapped spot that shouldn't be. And so he was really trying. He probably felt like a good person, like he was doing a good thing. But the problem is he was wrong.
So Matt's wife, Leslie, wrote back to the anonymous person on her own Facebook page, saying she's sure her husband would be glad to trade his BMW and handicapped parking pass for working legs and hands for the rest of his life, a trade she doubts the anonymous writer would make.
So, note to Sinead O'Connor, that's how you write an open letter.
Yeah. On your Facebook page?
Yeah, when you don't know who you're addressing it to, you write open letter to the guy who left a note on my handicapped husband's car.
Huh.
If you know who you're writing to, you can just write to them.
So what was he supposed to be, handicapped and desolate?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't walk, so I'll give up on life.
Drive a van or something.
You should live in a box. If
this issue is like a personal pet peeve for me because my dad's had a handicap placard forever because he got the shit shut out of him in Vietnam. And it's not a visible, like he limps sometimes if he's tired, but it's not a visible disability. So right. Every so often he's had people who like try to give him shit. And it's like, fuck you. You have no idea. Nobody needs a wheelchair to have a handicap sign. You do not know what's going on with someone. You do not get to ask people to prove their disability. Ugh, go dig a hole. I hate that. It makes me super mad.
Yeah.
Super mad.
Well, and that was kind of the crux of the whole thing is the person saw a nice BMW and it doesn't look like
A Lyft van or something.
Yeah, it doesn't look like something that you would have, there would be a place to put a wheelchair in. But as they showed in the news story, and you could hear a little bit of the rustling, he wheels up, lifts himself out of the chair into the car, and then he disassembles.
He's got like a transformer wheelchair.
Yeah, he disassembles the wheelchair, takes the wheels off, puts them behind the seat on the passenger side, and then folds up the seat and brings that in. It's a two-door BMW. So if you were to just look at it, you'd be like, how the hell is anybody in a wheelchair driving this?
He should have sat out there and watched.
No, I know.
You don't need to have a wheelchair disabled, too. Like,
right.
That's like the second problem for
and
whoever left the note.
You know what the bad part about it is? I bet you it was one of the people that was actually playing rugby inside the gym who actually wrote the note.
Yeah.
Like somebody in an actual wheelchair who's like, damn you.
Damn you, I have a drive a van and you have a BMW.
Either that or somebody who feels the need to settle everybody's hash and be like, listen, how dare you? I'm going to write you a note. Anyway.
Ugh, I remember there was some guy, some like snotty little teenager once who were at like a fair or some kind of event where they have like the disabled, you know, like when you go to Arco and there's the disabled parking
right.
off one way and everyone else off another. And the kid was like, this isn't a wheelchair van, or I don't see. How are you disabled? My dad's like, nope. See this sign? That's all you need to know. So
yeah, that's all the police need to see to not write a ticket. So that's all you need to know.
No, that's his veteran's plate.
Oh, okay.
That takes care of that.
Either way.
His Purple Heart plate, not the veteran plate. So.
Jeez.
Yeah. Nope. No, he's pretty cool.
Does he also carry a picture of the guy who shot him and go, this is the Charlie that shot me?
No.
Okay.
And especially if it's a kid asking the question.
Yeah.
I know.
Sit
down,
yeah,
kid.
Like, go wipe your nose or something.
Right. The fuck do you know?
Go enlist. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, you know what?
You didn't wipe your ass good today. Stop talking to me.
Well, apparently a rich girl had to take to the internet. She's a college student. She voiced her displeasure that, quote, bitter and unhappy poors are looking at her sideways because she is, to reiterate, a rich girl. Rachel Sachs is living in New York City, stone cold getting an education at a private school, but she can't hardly tote around a huge shopping bags full of new clothes without getting a bit of subtle shade thrown her way from some lowly cashier. Ridic! She said, I came straight from the Mulberry sample sale, big-ass shopping bag in tow back to the Gristides by my West Village apartment. That's the first sentence of today's most promising thought catalog essay. She tweeted, why is everyone in this class smelly and a fob? I don't know what a fob is.
That's racist.
It's for the Asians.
Is? Yep. Okay.
Yep. The Orientals.
Yep.
Yeah,
as they said back in the 70s.
Although historically, it could also have been used for Europeans.
I thought it was
the racial slur that keeps
but
on giving.
Somehow they seem to forget that they came off the boat.
Yeah.
Fresh off the boat. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, for me, I thought it was someone who loved Bill Clinton, friends of Bill. Anyway, she says, I got my purse at 70% discount, so they can fuck off. I'm sorry I don't have to go to a state school to save my parents' money. What do you want from me? Yeah.
Who's reporting on this bullshit?
It's on Gawker.
Some lady is ranting about shit and Gawker has to let the world know.
Oh, no. She's a rich college student and people are very upset about this.
The fuck cares?
She said people shouldn't make others feel bad about their own personal finances. How people spend their money is their own choice.
She's not rich. Her parents are.
There you go. There's a certain amount
of... that's not her fault.
Tact you show
exactly.
Around people who can't buy extraordinarily expensive things, but you should classify someone as a... Should you classify someone as a person based on how they're showing their wealth or lack of it? It just seems really petty and makes you look bitter and unhappy with your own life if you're casting nasty glares at college girls because you're a cashier. What purpose does it serve if all you want to do is reflect your own misery on other people?
No, you know why this girl needs to be shut down?
Why is that?
Nobody, nobody should tell me that I don't have the right to indiscriminately judge others.
Exactly.
Because
I do. Yeah, I mean, where would we be in
a
podcast world? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
She said, fortunately, I grew up with a decent amount of money in a decently rich area where people who work for the government go to raise their perfect kids. But I went to a private school when I was younger, and there I would always be someone much richer than me. There were kids who owned their own horses and whose parents were billionaires, so I had no idea I had any money until I was about 14 and people called me Rachel Sacks of Cash.
Ah!
First world problem.
My parents had bought me clothes from Old Navy and I ate at McDonald's on weekends when I was a kid. Oh my God!
I don't...
Why?
It's a 1% problem.
Old Navy and McDonald's.
I can't believe she doesn't shut up.
I didn't even know until I was older that I was even too rich to shop at Banana Republic.
She says,
and I can't believe I got in college because I'm so fucking stupid.
I'm not one of those people who try to be poor to relate to people, she confides.
I've never had to try.
Also, she has a pretty racist Twitter. Let's take a look at that.
Oh, God.
People behind me are talking about me and they don't know I'm right in front of them. And it's so funny. No, they do. That's why they're talking about you.
Wow.
And she also tweets, it's funny how reporters forget I'm actually in school and they can't take me out of my midterm exams for an interview.
That is funny. She's being interviewed because of the
shit
she tweeted.
When is she going to be on the Today Show?
I just want to make sure I understand this. She is a rich girl who is tweeting, griping, and people want to interview her about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure I understand.
4 hours is a lot of time to fill on morning TV.
Her Twitter subheading is Satan's Apprentice.
How dare she use
Daria? Yeah.
You are not. You're the Quinn. You're not the Daria. You're the Quinn.
So that's where she's pushed her over the edge.
Yes.
Is her use of Daria. Okay.
Everything else is like dime a dozen, but do not do that.
Okay.
Wrong.
Let's
move on to lawyer news.
I love lawyer news. This is a newly minted lawyer. He's trying to use a little bit different way to market himself. he's posting nude pictures online.
He is not helping the lawyer image at all.
It worked for Wiener.
Back in July, there was a young man named Brian who emailed an entire Delaware bar in an effort to procure a job. He didn't bother to include his resume. Instead, he attached a picture of himself in a Villanova Law t-shirt, sleeves rolled up and guns blazing. That's right. His two tickets to the gun show. After a quick search on Google, they found his half-naked photos. Story went viral, and he's passionately and perhaps foolishly tried to extend his 15 minutes of fame ever since. He's gone further. He started with pictures of his ripped arms and has gone to pictures of his penis.
I'm going to look this one up.
What kind of lure does he want to be?
Employed. I love his business card. This is business card. It's a picture of him. I don't know what he's doing. It's fantastic.
Was he on a train?
No, he looks like he's in a weird bedroom, and it's a very East Coast looking room with a white painted door and white room, but the door is open. He's wearing a button down shirt and a blazer, but he's not wearing a tie. Sunglasses inside, gelled hair, and it's got all of his contact info on there. It's
why am I not
terrible
any
business
pictures?
Cards.
I was promised pictures.
See, he's looking for naked pictures.
You need it.
I want to see. I want to see if this is all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
You want to see his legal briefs?
Well, here you go. It's
actually no briefs.
It's BrianZuberti.com.
I'm there, but I
are you?
Nothing.
I don't know.
I'm not finding anything.
I don't know. It's
bullshit right there.
Sorry.
Whatever.
Shenanigans.
Somebody should sue him for false advertising.
Oh. Yeah.
Right.
I was expecting pictures of your wang and nothing. Nothing, I say.
Hope you have a good lawyer.
I wonder if it's under sex. I love the categories. Brian, employment law, Facebook, pictures, press, sex, social media. Yeah.
Oh, flip to the next page. Thanks, above the law.
Yeah, it's
they've redacted them.
This is why this guy can't get a job. No one can find what they're looking for. And the header picture on his website is at such low resolution that it's pixelated.
Ugh, he esquired himself. I hate that shit. Fucking hate that shit. People esquire me every so often, and I'm like, do not do that. Do not do that. I will never ever willingly slap an ESQ after my name. That is some heinous bullshit.
Go ahead and explain to people the verb esquire themselves.
No, if you like put the esquire after your name to imply, you know, look up a lawyer esquire, which is like kind of a made up thing anyway, but it's
what sort of law firm is going to hire him with that weird Zoolander style picture?
Oh, that's awesome. That's art.
He's sort of on all fours making a pouty face to the camera.
I mean, that face.
Who, how
oh
is that?
God, what the
amazing.
I don't think he's advertising for you.
I'm sorry.
I think he's advertising for guys.
I made the mistake of scrolling down to a shot of him, and they put a black bar over
his
penis.
Well, apparently he replied to the above the law thanking them for making it seem like his penis is gigantic the way that they put the black bar.
Oh, my God. By that, his penis would be about 14 inches long, according to that black bar. Anyway,
yeah, he doesn't really want to practice law.
Yeah, well, I think he's advertising for the other side.
Everybody needs a lawyer of some sort or another. All right, let's compose ourselves and move on.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa.
All right, first up in cooler tool, being passive aggressive, Ted.
Oh. Not so cool.
Ted's enthralled with the naked pictures.
Now looking at this mean girl, Rachel Sachs.
Oh, sorry. Ted's back a story ago. Kareem, being passive aggressive, cool or tool?
Tool in this circumstance.
Christiana?
Tool.
Yeah, it's always tool to be passive aggressive. Just be aggressive. Yeah. Drop the passive. Or pick one, you indecisive bastards.
Although without passive aggressiveness, we wouldn't have speak out. So maybe
it's true. We would not have speak out. Up next in cooler tool, being true to yourself. Christiana.
Being true to yourself.
Yeah, no matter how rich you might be.
Brother.
I don't.
Oh, well.
Tool.
Ted?
That's a tricky one.
Isn't it?
If yourself's an asshole, then of course it's tool. But generally, I think you need to be true to really what's going on in your heart of hearts. So it's cool.
To thine own self.
Kareem?
I kind of agree with Ted. But if you're a bitch, you should be prepared for the consequences.
Yeah, be true to yourself so that people know who you are, and then they can avoid you.
That's helpful. They're right. That's a good point.
And finally, in cooler tool, non-traditional marketing techniques. Kareem?
In this case, tool.
Dead?
14-inch tool. Maybe not.
Yeah, literal tool.
Yeah, just the face. If he were fully clothed in a nice suit and making that face, I would still not hire him. So, Tool. Dickweed.
Tool.
Yeah, that's cooler, Tool. This week, one of the things that popped out, local story here in Sacramento, a mom posted on Facebook, and I've seen this before. I don't know if she reposted it or what the situation is, but...
I think I know her.
You know Maria Kang?
I think that, yeah. Isn't this
she's
like
a local.
Isn't this like a do-over story of outrage? Because I swear this is the old image, right?
It is. I think she reposted it because it went viral again. Here's the thing about things going viral. They can go viral multiple times.
That's like a virus.
It is. It's like the flu. And she posted a picture on Facebook of herself and her three little kids. And she's wearing a sports bra and yoga shorts is basically the photo. And the headline is, "What's your excuse?" She owns two residential care homes for the elderly, runs a fitness nonprofit that she founded, and is a freelance writer. She's a former fitness competitor and has three kids. She believes that if she has time to stay in shape, then everyone else should too. Mm-hmm. To help get the message across, she posted a photo on her Facebook page that showed her posed in minimal clothing along with her three boys around her with the words, "What's your excuse?" stamped at the top. The image, which she originally posted last year, was supposed to be inspirational. That's what she explained to Yahoo. Instead, the picture has gone viral with many commenters taking offense. In response, she posted the photo again, adding an apology. Of sorts, which she admitted to Shine was really a non-apology. A thanks for the admission, because we couldn't figure it out. This is what she said. "I've been getting an influx of new followers, emails, and comments on my profile pic recently. Some saying I'm a bully, I'm fat-shaming, and I need to apologize for the hurt I've caused women. I get it. So here's my first and final apology. I'm sorry you took an image and resonated with it in such a negative way. I won't go into details that I struggled with my genetics, had an eating disorder, work full-time owning two businesses, have no nanny and am not naturally skinny, and do not work as a personal trainer. I won't even mention how I didn't give in to cravings for ice cream, french fries, or chocolate while pregnant, or use my growing belly as an excuse to be inactive. What I will say is this. What you interpret is not my fault. It's yours. The first step in owning your life, your body, and your destiny is to own the thoughts that come out of your own head. I didn't create them. You created them. So if you want to continue hating this image, get used to hating many other things for the rest of your life. You can either blame, complain, or obtain a new level of thought by challenging the negative words that come out of your own brain. With that said, obesity and those who struggle with the health-related diseases is literally a bigger issue than the photo. Maybe it's time we stop tiptoeing around people's feelings and get to the point. So, what's your excuse?"
Wow. You know, I at first agreed with her sentiment. I thought maybe she was just trying to get a message across, but the tone of that little open letter is so snotty that I'm having a hard time getting behind her. I think she's, I mean, she's just, ugh, I don't
it,
like
it's
it.
It's common for people who have success in weight loss to go through that phase.
Of the snotty. I mean, I'm not going to even mention the things I'm about to mention,
you take it. Most people stop with a, like, if I can do it, anyone can kind of thing, or the it's no big deal, and some keep going with it. And if you're hot and go get your professional photo shot done like that, then, yeah, that's where you go. Well, and you're a dick for doing it,
well,
lady.
The first part that she put was your excuse.
Right.
Yeah. So anything that you added outside of that, that's your own shit.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the fact that she went back, her apology or unapology probably came as a response to all of the crap that she probably got from the thing. Truth is, there are a lot of people who are lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or expect things to happen for them magically. Oh, I guess I'll sleep like. They assume that the weight's going to happen the way the sleep thing happens.
Sure.
Yeah.
If that's the way they assume it. So, like I said, I think I know her. And if it's the person I think it is, she's always been a nice person. So I don't have anything against what she posted. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one thing, if she had posted, "Oh, you fat, sloppy bitch.
Right.
You should get up off your couch so you can look like this," then I would have an issue with that. But that's not what she did. And for her to do all the stuff that she is doing on top of that, like, you can make a little bit of effort.
but it implies that, like, that it's necessarily just laziness that contributes to that. And I've been on all sides of this. My own personal fitness journey has taken many ups and downs over my life. And then came to a screeching halt after I had a kid. And it's not like having the kid, it's not the kid's fault. It's mostly undiagnosed and untreated postpartum depression, and then whoever knows what else since then. But it's just this notion. I mean, yeah, for some people, it's just a matter of they don't own up to their own behaviors that contribute to it.
Right.
But, you know, it's this like, you know, it's a kind of like a humble brag thing. Like, look, I'm so busy, but I have time to do it. Well, great. That's awesome for you. And I'm genuinely happy for her success. But don't make it seem like, I don't know. It's just pretty arrogant to be inspirational. It's pretty arrogant. Like the better that what's your excuse thing is a pretty common like meme in the fitness world.
Right.
And there was another one that went around that nobody had a problem with because it was the like war veteran with one leg and half an arm left. He gets to say what's your excuse.
Right.
She.
Right.
With her three kids under 3 years old.
So, I mean, so what? I don't know what her, are they in daycare all day? Is she a stay-at-home mom? Like, I don't know what she, you know, she said she has other businesses.
The kids may or may not actually
be in the way of her time. There's people parent in all kinds of different ways. I don't know shit about that. But it's more impressive to me if you're going to go, what's your excuse? The guy with like one appendage left who is now ripped, you know, he gets to say, what's your excuse? If I can do this, you can do this. I don't know shit about her from that other than you have three kids. That's not a handicap. You have three kids. Lots of people have three kids.
Yeah. And
are either fit or not fit.
And a lot of people use it as a handicap too. Here's where I go with this. And this is something that's interesting because I have friends who have commented on her thing. Most women who've made comments about it. I have a female friend who was very much in favor of what she said. Who is very much like, yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. Here's what I will say about this. Her message and the way she put it out there is something that resonates far better with men than with women. Because for whatever reason...
In what way?
Well, in terms of how we process it.
What is that? Like, what does it make... What is... in from your, like, you know, polling the audience there, like, what message do men take from it that's different than from what women take from it?
Well,
we don't take it as a personal swipe at women. We don't take it as a fat shaming or a swipe at women. We took it as she busts her ass to work, raise her kids, and she still works out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will say on the flip side of that, part of what she has too is genetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's another part of that. But the fact that people felt the need to comment negatively on the fact that she posted a picture of herself like that. That's some different shit.
Yeah. And the thing is with guys and women who play sports growing up, would probably get it a little bit closer to the way guys are because a lot of guys grow up in the sports atmosphere where at least when Kareem and I were younger, your coaches would challenge you in ways like this. So that is something that's very motivational in the male mindset from conditioning and so on and so forth. And if you're somebody who wasn't into sports when you were younger, or if you were approached in a different way about it, you might not take it the same way.
How did I get left out of that? You and Kareem's coach treated you like that, but not me, you don't think?
I have no idea how your coach treated you, Ted.
Well, didn't you just say you and Kareem in high school that's how your coach drove you?
Yeah, and if you are our age, I mean, you're about the same age as we are. You're a little bit younger, but...
Okay, just curious.
And you also grew up in the Bay Area, too, where attitudes might have been different. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Ted, how did your coach...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. No, I felt like I couldn't tell if it was because I was Jewish or because I'm Ted Sampson or why I was left out of that comparison while you and Kareem were clearly busted your butts for your coaches. My coach is a
Did you play sports? I don't even
I ran track, but I didn't have a very good coach because he didn't drive me very hard. But anyway, that's beside the point.
He was just like...
He didn't try to body shame you
He was just like, you're all right.
I also... The other thing that bothers me about her thing is reading her little blurb is she references having had an eating disorder in the past. And that's just a sea of alarm bells to me where she's doing this and had an eating disorder. And we're supposed to take from it, I guess, that she's mentally healthy now when it comes to achieving this level. But... I worry about that kind of thing because that's right. I don't know. The word trigger comes to mind.
And the other part of it is the men and women mindset.
Yeah, it's like, very different.
We took it. We stopped at what we saw, and y'all just went way deep into it
and internalized it a great deal.
Pretty much how that works.
And speaking as someone who has just recently, here's my humble brag, just recently lost 65 pounds. you tend to, and I say you in the greater sense of the word, and it's from my own experience, you make excuses for behaviors that you've had that led you to a place where you are, and sometimes you don't really realize how many excuses were just that, excuses. And I'm, again, speaking about me specifically, even though I'm saying you, there are excuses that are made that's like, oh, yeah, I did that, and I just went past it by going, ah, it'll be fine. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to do whatever. And when you go the other way and get into a different mindset, you realize how many excuses you were making that led you to that place. And so if, as you circle, you know, as someone who's sort of circled around on that journey a little bit, excuse really has a different sort of feeling to me. It's like, yeah, I was making excuses. Is it all excuses? No, but yeah, there were excuses. So it's like, yeah, I don't feel like going and doing anything today. I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch TV. I'm not going to go for a walk. I'm not going to go for a run. I'm not going to go for a bike ride. I'm just going to sit here and watch TV and
eat. I'm not going to do 20 seconds worth of planks. I'll just sit here.
Yeah. So either way, this has come. It's gone. It made it to Huffington Post, as does everything.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we all feel better / worse about ourselves. Or
I feel better about the Huffington Post being worse. Does that mean anything?
Not a thing.
Nope.
Okay, good.
Do you feel better about that?
I don't know how I feel.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I do know how to wire your brain for happiness.
You do?
I do, thanks to the Huffington Post. The secret to long-lasting happiness might be neatly summed up in the cheesy neuroscience joke, the neurons that fire together wire together. Huh?
Ah, that's a good one.
That's why neuroscientists aren't stand-ups. It's a classic saying, and it's widely accepted because it's very true. That's according to a neuropsychologist, Rick Hansen, the author of Hardwiring Happiness, The New Brain Science of Contentment, Calm, and Confidence. That's not going to fit well on a book jacket, so I'm saying. Basically, on a day-to-day basis, most of us don't stay with our positive experiences long enough for them to be encoded into our neural structure, meaning that there's not enough wiring and firing going on. On the other hand, we naturally tend to fixate on negative experiences. Positive and negative emotions use different memory systems in the brain, according to Hansen, and positive emotions don't transfer as easily to long-term memory. So basically, what he's saying is if you think about positive things more often, you're going to be happier, and don't think about negative things so much.
Wow.
See how simple it is?
He's a genius. What's your excuse?
Now go be happy.
Saddy.
Now go be happy. That's right.
I don't care if you're depressed, Saddy McSaddington.
That's right. The way to hardwire happiness into the brain is to take in the good, being present in life's tiny joyful moments.
That's bullshit, because I learned from television in the 80s that you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
And there you have.
So mm-hmm. You can't tell me just to ignore
that's
part
the
of
more
that.
But it's not the facts of happiness.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the facts of life.
Right. Yeah. They don't really teach you how to be happy.
Better.
There's a time you got to go and know you're growing now.
And by the way, does anybody really believe that Natalie was the first one to lose her virginity in that whole little setup?
Well, she was
speaking
raped.
Speaking of the facts, no, she wasn't. She had sex with her boyfriend, Snake.
She was raped.
Snake.
I know Natalie was raped. I remember it vividly. I wasn't there. I just remember it.
I love how Ted and I are having a vehement argument about the facts
raped.
Of life.
Were you taking a videotape?
I want to put a pin in this to say that sometime in like January, we're going to come back to talk about rape as plot device in a TV show where Blind Item, it's possible that a popular British import show currently airing in the UK but not yet airing on PBS in the US may prominently feature a rape storyline, and it makes me super mad.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime
it's like,
rape?
We need drama. I know. Oh. Let's rape that character. Ta-da. Ooh.
But the facts of life did it. They want to show you how you can defend yourself and take courses to, you know, be prepared. I don't know.
Maybe. Well,
mm-hmm. I was young. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You're not into it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Not into the facts of life or them using rape in a comedy?
sounds
like a good plan, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's change the topic to 8 things you might not know about deodorant.
Okay.
Yeah. It kills bacteria.
Deodorant or antiperspirant?
Deodorant kills bacteria. Antiperspirants don't actually stop the sweating process.
Lies.
It's true. They don't. They just stop up the endocrine sweat glands.
But they may be killing us with their high level of aluminum.
Gross.
But we'll smell good.
I use Dr. What's his name?
Pepper? Shoal?
Dr. Burt's Bees.
Phil?
Dr. Burt's Bees. No, we're taking a different doctor.
Yeah, your deodorant doesn't care if you're male or female.
Well,
only the marketers care. It's basically...
But the one I use is strong enough for a man, but it's pH balanced for me.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It just smells girly.
I can't remember what brand that is.
It just smells
secret.
Girly.
Secret?
Oh,
secret. Yeah. Secret? All right.
Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman.
Sure, secret. Balanced for a woman.
Now, not everyone needs deodorant, and it's possible to tell if you do by your earwax.
Ew.
What? How?
Well,
do
so
tell.
Much.
That was the big takeaway from this. Short of foregoing deodorant long enough to discover your true scent, which is what someone did for 10 days, you can get an idea of your own personal smell factor by examining your earwax. White, flaky ear gunk most likely means you could toss the deodorant stick, but dark and sticky wax,
ew,
not so fast.
I guess
I feel like that might tell you something entirely different about
like
your
dry, hygiene in general.
Dry earwax producers are missing a chemical in their pits that the odor-causing bacteria feed on. That's according to Live Science. So, yeah. And the other one is no one, not even the deodorant makers, truly understands where those yellow stains under your arms come from.
The bane of my laundry, man.
Exactly.
That's rough.
And finally, you can make your own because a number of plant oils and extracts contain their very own antibacterial powers. So you can, in theory, make your own deodorant relatively easily. However, people seem to find all natural store-bought products to have varying degrees of efficacy. Ted uses one. Not to mention, you won't find an all-natural antiperspirant, just the odor blockers.
Do you know why I love this article?
Because pointless?
Because it used the word efficacy instead of effectiveness.
Oh,
wow.
Effectiveness is up there with menti for me. And there's a perfectly good word that is you should actually use, and efficacy is a beautiful word. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Use it in a sentence today.
I'm going to get personal here. The reason I use the deodorant I use is because other kinds of deodorant give me really rashy armpits.
Ouch.
So if you have rashy armpits, try Burt's Bees Natural Deodorant. It smells like salad dressing.
And it's kind to your
Burt's
pits.
Bees.
I didn't, after I had a kid,
uh-huh,
I didn't wear deodorant until my fertility came back like 14 months later. Did not stink. So it's hormone related, you know.
How your earwax? How's your earwax doing?
I don't know.
Okay. Just want to check it. We
I mean,
wait.
It's not flaky. That sounds weird.
It does.
Is it black and Icarus?
Icarus.
I
don't know.
The word I'm going to use right now.
It's flying into the sun. Hey, it's time for Florida Corner. Maybe the gentle rocking of the train was a little too stimulating for an Amtrak passenger who apparently went off the rails, or perhaps he thought he was aboard the Love Train.
Ugh,
deputies were dispatched to the railroad station near DeLand last Tuesday after getting
not near DeSea?
A report of a loose caboose performing a little locomotion on himself.
Stop!
At least he wasn't humping the seat.
Wow.
The passenger sitting next to the suspected lewd dude in the coach section
did he offload any freight?
Told deputies that the that the two got off on the wrong track, that he was trying to catch a little shut-eye, and the dude sitting next to him, identified as Daniel Michael, who's 33, was letting off some steam.
Choo-choo!
The passenger also allegedly told deputies that the marathon man got up while still exposed and walked down the aisle to the bathroom to finish the act, passing a small child along the way. Michael claimed his covers were moving back and forth because his stomach was itchy. He also allegedly stated that he might have accidentally ejaculated on the bathroom floor.
How do you accidentally ejaculate outside of having sex with somebody?
Accidentally.
Or a bar chair.
Yeah. The deputies charged him with lewd or lascivious behavior in the presence of a child and took him to jail.
Ew.
So, yeah, my stomach itched, but then I went to the bathroom and accidentally ejaculated on the floor.
That'll hold up in court.
Did I tell you the story about the cop that when I got in, I got rear-ended on 80?
Oh, wow.
And I was talking to a CHP officer while we were waiting for the tow truck, and she said that when she worked in L.A., there was a guy that they busted who was sitting on the off-ramp. With a red hat on and some sneakers, and he was going to town.
Oh, Lord.
Crazy.
And I was like, how do you know that's your thing? At what point do you figure out that's what you're into?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a very strange one.
And he was a businessman.
Well, of course
he
was.
He found his BMW parked down, like, off the freeway with his power suit in it.
Yeah, well, that was his business.
If you're a businessman, you need to make the most use of your time. And if your car's down, you just jack off in the middle of the highway.
Is there a more generic term than businessman?
I don't think so.
We are business women. Do you have a business woman's lunch special?
No. Speaking of women, it's time for Florida Corner Ladies Edition.
This DCF investigator is in danger of being fired tonight. Police say she was drunk and naked when she went on a violent spree and attacked her boyfriend. And she didn't want to explain herself to us today.
There's a shot.
It looks like she didn't. We first broke the story at 4. Tavares police say Tamika Lewis had been drinking so much she was naked when they found her outside her boyfriend's house.
During the last hour, Channel 9's Tim Barber has been digging into Lewis's background. He's live outside her DCF office in Tavares. And Tim, you found out she has never had a problem before now.
Never had a problem, Marty, and her coworkers liked her here. In fact, she was the one who told them about the arrest, so they offered to let her resign. But she refused. Tamika Lewis tried to avoid our camera and sneak to her car.
How dare she?
She was too slow. What happened,
Tamika?
Earlier this month, Tavares police found the DCF child investigator naked in her neighbor's driveway. Lewis had been drinking so much, officers said they had to force the 30-year-old to the ground with a taser. Were you naked? Tamika, can you tell us what happened? The bizarre incident started when Lewis and the father of her child got into a fight and he kicked her out. That's when investigators say Lewis got naked and bashed in his van's windows with a pink baseball bat. Police say Lewis tried to hide
a pink baseball bat.
She didn't do a very good job because it didn't take him long to find it in her own trash can.
Wildest thing I've seen is a bear going around that corner and down the street. So, and he didn't have on many clothes either.
DCF has 12,000 employees, so officials say situations like this are rare. But Lewis's case was so bizarre and serious, they're taking steps to fire her.
And in the field of child protection, your judgment, your credibility is everything.
So, yeah, she's...
So did they tase her on a naked ass?
No, they just said they had to take her down. I have no idea what went on with that, but...
There's some video of that somewhere.
Probably. Oh. Well, yeah, dash cam. There has to be dash cam of that.
Some dash cam footage of that.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
In a lot of ways. Yeah, when your job is based, you know, helping the welfare of other people and you have really poor decision making.
I'm actually wondering whether or not there's enough of a nexus to get her fired from her state employment and what the due process requirements are in her state.
Yeah, well,
they
offered her a chance to resign, and she said, F you. I don't know if she did or not. Before we get on to small town news, we have the top 10 big boob problems that only ladies with large breasts will understand.
It is important.
It is, because not everybody has large breasts. They don't understand. One of the problems, under boob sweat.
Ugh.
These can all probably affect men as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. Yes.
Your bras being mistaken for ass holders and or hats. I don't know what an ass holder is.
Oh, this is a piece of bullshit there.
I think you're right.
Super piece of bullshit.
There might be shenanigans in this one.
Budgeting to afford a bra that actually fits.
What research company did this?
It's on the Huffington Post, Ted, so you know it's important. Finding the right specialty bra shop with a correctly trained fitter you can actually trust, or at the very least, just finding a store that carries your size.
Well, that's true for any
bra. Any bra. Come on, people.
Packing a larger suitcase to fit your bras into.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that is incredible. Just use it. If your bra is that big, use that as a suitcase. Duh.
Like a hobo.
But you usually have it on your trip.
Yeah.
You might need more than one bra.
Yeah, you need a bunch of them. Figuring out ways to get your insurance to pay for breast reduction. Okay.
That's a legitimate problem.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't put that on a list with mistaken for ass holders.
Right.
Number two, though.
Or the one that follows it, demi cup overspill. Yeah, here, if your breasts are that big, you probably just should forego the demi cup. Just saying. Shopping for clothes based on whether or not you can wear a bra with them. I think that goes for virtually all women. Wondering if a guy
if you have small boobs, you don't need to wear a bra sometimes.
Oh.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Wondering if a guy is actually looking at you or is only interested in your chest.
Oh, right, because that only has to do with...
Yeah. And how to not look crazy while holding your boobs to avoid black eyes during a run. So... That's one of the
incidents.
Right. And coming up next week, because I'm going to follow up with the Huffington Post on this one, they're doing complaints and issues with the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, and that's exactly what's printed on Huffington Post, by the way.
Is there going to be one about men with big penises and little
penises? I feel like I should assign everybody as homework.
Ooh.
Looking up Anita Sarkeesian's very good YouTube video post about the problem with HuffPo phishing for readers and additional clicks using misogynistic bullshit like that. Which, while it did have some legit big boob problems, like, for example, when I had a kid and my boobs were, like, giant, because that's what happens when you have a kid, your boobs get all big and they're awkward. I, like, didn't know where to hold the baby, because I have not historically had big boobs, but I do now because I'm fat.
Or a baby. A
and I didn't know, and there's, like, there's just nowhere to put the kid, and they were always in the way, and that's super annoying. But that article was annoying, and I think we can do better than that.
It hasn't been quite the same since it was purchased.
What's that?
It hasn't been quite the same since it was purchased.
The Huffington Post.
Sorry on the Huffington. I don't know what you're trying to say, Kareem. I really don't know. So I just know it's time for this.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Yeah. Is that? Broke out the Ariana Huffington impression.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. All right, small town news. We're going to make it quick. It's Speak Out from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York.
Yay, to the tablet.
I read with interest the person who is having problems with his bird feeder due to what looks like an Adirondack spotted lark. I am also having the same feeder problems, but in my case, it's a Smith Tyler Bob. That's right, it's a Smith Tyler Bob. How much clearer can I make it?
Bird nerds.
Budgets. Nothing is more appalling than when cities, counties, and towns ask for money to expand for business when this country is in severe deficit and people's jobs are on the line with the latest Obamacare. Many jobs are cutting hours to part-time and some are closing up shop.
Obama!
Yeah, how dare you cities ask for money for things. And finally, if restaurants want more patronage, cleanliness should be very important. When things aren't clean, it's very unappetizing. Food spatters and flies make me want to walk out right away.
Yeah, it's true. I'm glad someone had the courage to say that.
we're
all thinking.
I know it's one of those things that you just got to say sometimes.
Sometimes if you send a letter to the restaurant, they might take into account and make changes.
I have a great restaurant story from Plattsburgh, New York.
Oh,
since you brought it up and we have time left in the song. It's not. Oh. It was this Chinese restaurant, and I'm not a Chinese food guy, but... it's one that my first mother-in-law used to love to go to, even though every time she ate there, she didn't feel good after. Well, one night, the burglar alarm went off at said Chinese restaurant. And when police showed up, they carefully opened the back door and flipped on the light. And the floor, which was black, suddenly became white. As the roaches that covered the entire floor scattered.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's icky.
So, yeah, I'll take a little food splatter anytime over a moving floor of roaches.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I think that's a good choice.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Happy hump day, everybody.
What? Oh, we didn't do our hump day.
I know. It didn't make it over to the new computer. Sorry.
Oh, this is the worst show ever. Just kidding.
Is it? No, it's not the worst show
no,
ever.
It's not the worst show
I've
ever.
Done far worse podcasts than this, Ted.
That's the spirit.
Trust me.
I know.
Trust me.
I do.
Way worse than this.
There
was that time. No.
Oh, butter.
We had stories this time. It was all good.
No, it was all good.
Yeah.
So there we go. As in being literal.
Yeah. So thank you to Kareem Daniels for joining us. Kareem, if people want to track where you're doing stand up and stuff like that, they can love you on Facebook. Am I right?
They can. Kareem J. Daniels comic.
There you go.
And then I'm hosting the open mic at Jazz and Jokers every Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Cool. And how much does it cost for one to get in and see that?
It's $5.
Nice. $5?
Five whole dollars.
What a deal. Is there a drink minimum? Am I allowed to ask that?
There is a two-item minimum.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can go $5 and have dinner.
Exactly. Cool.
Watch some comics and...
Hey, works for me.
Be cool about it.
I'm just trying to be as cool as I can.
Well, not you.
Just don't put me on the spot here.
Just in general.
I'm not hating.
Yeah, don't
shop Amazon, everyone.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, yeah. Thank you, for God's sake. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra if you're going to shop Amazon anyway. Please go ahead and stop off at natedarlingshow.com first. Click the shop Amazon tab. It supports the show. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And we do appreciate it.
I just bought some cat food through Amazon.
I saw that.
And litter.
There you go. Yep. So you got them coming and going. All right, that's going to do it for us for this time. We'll see you again with a new show on Friday. Have a good one, everybody.
back. She got away with the boys in place. Treat them like they don't stand a chance. And he got away.